Recently, I was having a conversation with a friend where we were sharing our fears about the future. After the discussion, she concluded by saying, "Maybe this is all in our minds?" That stuck with me, and I began to think that I may be worrying about fears or life events that don't even exist in the present. Rakeshji, what do you think?
Our life is shaped by our mind, or we become what we think. So, Snehaji, we are shaping our future through our thoughts, and our mind is the workshop where our future takes shape.
But is our mind full of thoughts, or are we being mindful of our thoughts?
Full mind versus mindful. Nice concept. Let's discuss more about this.
Welcome to today's episode of Soul Vibes, where we are going to talk about mindfulness, a tool for the workshop that is our mind. I am Sneha.
And I'm Rakesh.
Namaskar, Dhanrangarji.
As we start today's episode, I'm reminded of a historical event that happened in Sweden. On 3rd September 1967, Sweden changed its driving rules. Now, drivers had to drive on the right side of the road instead of the left side.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm sure they must have faced many challenges in making such a big change.
Exactly. Imagine this. On 2nd September 1967, everyone was driving on the left side of the road. In the next morning, they all had to drive on the right side. Though the authorities had planned everything, traffic lights were reversed, road signs changed, intersections redesigned, lines on the road repainted and the bus stops moved. A massive PR campaign was conducted to educate people about how this change would be implemented.
I imagine the traffic police was kept very busy over the next year with the increase in accidents.
That is the strange part. The number of accidents went down.
Really? No way.
Yes. Drivers were actually paying more attention to the traffic lights, road signs, and other vehicles on the road.
Oh yes. They must have had to completely be focused on driving carefully.
I think whenever we begin a new task, we tend to be more mindful and focused than if we repeat a familiar pattern. For example, if I gave you a Rubik's Cube to solve, Snehaji, you would be completely involved with it. Versus if I asked you to brush your teeth.
Right. I don't remember the last time I was mindful about brushing my teeth. Probably when I was 5.
Yeah. Routine tasks just become habits and are performed without us paying any attention.
If nature has made us a certain way, where we get complacent, almost robotic with familiar tasks, then why try to be mindful at all?
Yes. We are constantly engaged in thinking about something or the other, and are not mindful of the present moment. As per a study conducted, we have about 6,400 thoughts per day. Sometimes people cannot fall asleep when they go to bed because the mind doesn't stop thinking.
You're right. I remember how we were asked to mark our attendance in school, and when the teacher called out our names, we sat present. If I was taking my attendance and whether I was present mentally, I think I'd get more absence than presence.
Right. On that note, I have been thinking about few questions recently. I feel these questions will help us both to reflect on how full our mind is or how mindful we are. Snehaji, do you consciously take some time out to observe the thoughts and emotions that are passing through your mind?
I think I'm aware of the thoughts and emotions I'm going through, but I try not to dwell too much on negative thoughts, and therefore tend to distract myself.
Although I think that maybe it's better to be aware of the negative situation and accept it instead of avoiding it. As the famous psychiatrist Carl Jung has also said, what you resist persists. Are there any aspects of ourselves that we don't want to think about?
Let's answer this together at the count of three. 3, 2, 1, yes.
Yes.
Rakeshji, I thought mindfulness was about being present. But in this discussion, we talked about a lot of other dimensions of mindfulness. Let's talk about this with Samarthaji and Meherji. They both work in creative fields. Samarthaji is an amazing singer, and Meherji, a dancer and choreographer.
Dhan Nirankar ji.
So Maratha ji, can we hear you sing a few lines for our listeners?
Sure.
Feeling good, like I should. Went and took a walk around the neighborhood. Feeling blessed, never stressed. Got that sunshine on my Sunday best. Feeling good.
Wow, you sang this song so well that it made me want to dance.
I think you would express beautifully through your moves what I'm trying to convey with my voice.
Aw, thanks. Although, I would like to say that while my body is dancing to the tunes of one song, my mind thinks of other things or maybe another song. Does that happen to you also while singing?
Let me tell you about an experience I had. The first time I went up to the stage, seeing the audience, I was very nervous that I would not do well. But then, I put a brake on my thoughts, took a deep breath, and gathered the confidence to sing. Now also, after having given many performances, when I look at a crowd that's about to watch me perform, even if I may be thinking about something completely different, I stop for a second, clear my vocals, stand up straight, and remind myself of my purpose.
That's actually a great way to practice mindfulness. Tackling distractions and self-doubt can be a challenge. But when I remind myself of what dance means to me, my mind automatically focuses on the beats, the choreography, and my expressions.
Yes, we are living in a materialistic world, and there are distractions and obstacles within and outside. But we need to be aware of our purpose and be consciously attached with the formless who is stable and always gives us stability.
Yes, definitely. But is there any other aspect to mindfulness that you can think of?
Yes, Meherji. I think that mindfulness is about being aware of what is happening right now without wishing it were different. It means enjoying the pleasant moments in our lives without holding on when they change. It is also about being with the unpleasant moments without fearing that life will always be this way. What do you think, Rakesh ji?
I think that life gives us all kinds of experiences, but our perspective makes them good or bad. As an example, my mother had been having symptoms of high blood sugar, so we requested her to get it tested. But she was reluctant, as she feared that if the results revealed that she had high blood sugar, she would not be able to eat anything sweet, especially things she likes the most. We explained to her that being ignorant about the problem and not dealing with it would only make it worse. We told her the situation was temporary and she had the power to make it better.
So, did she finally get herself tested?
Yes, it took a lot of convincing, but she finally did. Since then, she has become more mindful, not only taking care of her diet, but her lifestyle as well. This has obviously improved her overall quality of life. She walks more than 10,000 steps every day. I rarely achieve that target.
So, the right perspective made a seemingly bad situation an opportunity to learn.
Very true, Sumarita ji. Any practical tips on how we can do this?
I read this quote recently. Life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. When a situation arises, I try to take a few seconds to bring chetanta or presence to it so that the reaction would be empowered with mindful thinking and spirituality.
That was so enlightening and thought-provoking. We just need to quiet the mind and soul will speak. Thank you, Sumarita ji and Meher ji. Let's now talk to Arpita ji, who works in healthcare management and has been studying holistic healing for some time now.
Dhan Nirankar ji.
Arpita ji, what has been your experience with mindful practices?
I have been practicing meditation for a while now. Before exploring meditation, I had always heard that it's all about silencing our mind. But it confused me that where we have more than 100 thoughts every minute, is it actually possible to quiet our mind? Luckily, I got a chance to ask my then yoga mentor regarding this, and she explained that meditation is not just a band-aid strategy that heals superficially, but an X-ray which makes us see ourselves more clearly.
That's one healthcare expert talking. But it's interesting that mindfulness can translate into self-worth and self-actualization. But tell me one thing, in today's busy and hustled life, how does one meditate?
It's not compulsory to sit and meditate for 30 minutes every day. Even 5 minutes can work. In fact, I can meditate while walking in the park or while taking a break from my hectic day, just by observing my breath and remembering Nirankar within and around me. As Sharon Salzberg said, mindfulness isn't difficult. We just have to remember to do it. Meditation is all about connecting our soul with the super soul. Now I'm able to meditate even while working. As we often hear in Sangat, Hath Karval Te Chit Yarval. Your hands are at work, but your mind is connected with the supreme consciousness.
All right. So essentially you meditate with the awareness of self and Nirankar?
Yes. In my spiritual journey, meditation has only helped me connect deeper with Nirankar. I remember Sadhguru Baba Hardev Singh Ji Maharaj said in one of his discourses that when people meditate, they focus on their breath. But even breath is constantly in motion. We will benefit from focusing on something stable, which is Nirankar. This has given me a better understanding of both meditation and the formless one.
That's great. I was wondering how you deal with all the thoughts that crowd your mind during meditation.
You know, Snehaji, when I started observing my thoughts through meditation, I realized that so many of my thoughts were just ruminations about my past and anxieties about my future.
That reminds me of a quote by John Lennon. Life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. We are so busy overthinking our past and planning our future that we forget to live in the present. I have started journaling, and it has helped me become an observer who tries not to judge herself.
Could you talk a bit about journaling? How do you do it?
I've heard that journaling can be done in a written, audio, or video format. But I usually journal through voice messages. Whenever I'm dealing with heightened emotions, hearing my thoughts out loud helps me work through the mind clutter and change the narrative to a more positive, spiritual one. It just makes my thoughts more palpable, and instead of repeating the same negative thoughts, I work through them and keep only the constructive ones.
You know, Snehaji, since mindfulness and meditation is about no judgment, I've implemented a no judgment policy even towards myself.
You know, I've always thought we grow into better humans by critiquing ourselves.
I think we should love ourselves as a mother loves her child. She wants her child to be the best in the world, but she never stops loving her no matter what phase the child is going through. We should also strive to become the best version of ourselves, but never stop accepting ourselves as we are presently. It's also helpful to think about what aspect of situation we can control and what we cannot.
Thank you for your insights, Arpitaji. Rakeshji, speaking of things out of my control, I have been using my phone way too much, and I'm pretty sure my attention to the present has reduced because of this.
You know, I realized this when I went to a restaurant recently. Almost everyone around me sat across from each other and did not even appreciate their food or the company they had because they were busy with their phones.
For this reason, my mom has a basket in which we now put our phones when we eat our meals together. It has improved the quality of our conversation and has made me appreciate her cooking a lot more. And there's an added benefit. When we're eating mindfully and appreciating every bite, we also tend not to overeat.
This mention of your mother reminds me to introduce our next speakers, who are a mother and daughter. We have Nidhiji with us, who has counseled and mentored many students as a teacher. We also have her daughter, Prasasti Ji, with us, who is currently working as an analyst and enjoys reading. Nidhiji, as a teacher, do you have any experiences with mindfulness?
Dhan Rankar Ji, being in this profession has always given me an opportunity to interact with the younger generation. We all know how playful and restless their minds are. Whenever we got the exam schedule, the teacher with the last exam would be unhappy because students used to get distracted by then and would not perform well in their last paper. So I started telling my students that they should focus on those 3 hours of writing time rather than the joy and happiness and celebration after the exams. I would not take their answer sheets before the 3 hours ended and in a way persuaded them to write and revise their paper well.
I'm sure your students must have benefited from this tip.
Yes. Slowly they understood the value of being consistent and focused on the present and not spoiling it by thinking about the future. This consistency is important in our lives as well. Sadhguru Mataji, in her recent discourses in UAE, said that a student is always a student, even when he or she steps outside the classroom, and likewise, a saint is always a saint. So the student has to write well until his last exam, and a saint has to be connected with Nirankar until the last breath.
I always got this advice from you before my last exam, and even though it was hard not to get caught up in the excitement, I tried to focus my mind. Practicing mindfulness is a slow process, but we need to keep going. I feel like we've covered so many aspects of mindfulness today. Paying attention, living in the moment, accepting ourselves, and mindful breathing.
But this discussion is about me, myself, and I. I have been thinking about being mindful of others too.
You're right. One of my learnings has been to try to work past this tendency of mine, where I used to get so caught up in my own thoughts and fears and emotions that I expected everyone else to understand me. Recently, I've been trying to look past myself and be more observant and listen better without the fog of my emotions clouding my relationships all the time.
So Prashasti ji, how do you do it?
If someone says something to me that I might not receive well, I let my first thought pass and try to imbue the second thought with kindness and awareness. Sometimes a breath of fresh air to clear my mental fog goes a long way.
And here I have been thinking that you are sighing exasperatedly.
Sometimes I am. The other thing that I've been trying to do is to listen mindfully. I have a tendency to interrupt people when they speak. This often means that I'm planning my response and not really listening to the other person. Initially, I tried to scold myself into it, saying, "Prashasti, listen, don't interrupt." But then I realized it wasn't helping. Then I noticed that when I stop listening and start planning my response, my breathing pattern changes. So I now try to change my breathing pattern, and that often helps me listen better.
This makes me happy, because maybe now you will listen to your mom's advice more.
Thank you, Nidhi ji and Prashasti ji, for your time and insightful thoughts. I'm reminded that May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and this is the aim of mindfulness, to become more aware of our mental thoughts and emotions.
We also observe Samarpan Devas in the month of May and are reminded of the teachings of Sadhguru Baba Hardev Singh Ji Maharaj. He always guided us that the more we are connected to Nirankar, the more mindful and self-aware we become, thus becoming a better person day by day.
Indeed, he guided us to make spirituality our daily bread and not a special occasion cake, using spirituality as the driving wheel of our life's car and not the spare Stephanie wheel kept in the boot of the car.
Exactly. We are shaped by our thoughts and become what we think. So by being mindful, we are changing our perception of ourselves and the world itself.
Sneha ji, let me share a story with you. Once, there was a bullfight planned in a village. People were betting on which bull would win the fight. One bull was in a lot of rage and totally charged up. And a lot of people were betting on him as they thought that aggression is needed to win a fight. The second bull was calm, composed and very relaxed. But almost the same number of people were betting on this bull as well, because they thought that this bull would have more mental presence during the fight, as he was conserving his energy and would easily win.
Both bets seem right, Which bull will win, Rakeshji?
It's actually simple. The bull, which is fed well throughout the year, will win. It could be the angry bull or the calm bull. We have both bulls in our mind. A calm, rational one and one which is highly impulsive. We can train our minds to be in touch with our emotions and must try to ultimately feed our calm and rational side. So, we are best able to channelize our energies and manage our impulses.
As we draw to a close, I would like to leave our listeners today with a few lines from a poem by Rumi. Be empty of worrying. Think of who created thought. Why do you stay in prison when the door is wide open? Thank you for being mindful listeners of our episode today.
Dhanankar ji.